I shall speak to you of appearance, likeness, form, and also of substance. You may be seated.
Terrified of being found out. Secretly, carefully, discreetly avoiding people who might ask him what he does for a living, Wegwerfer boards the Straßenbahn every morning just before 7:30 at the corner of the Rundstrasse. Wearing a gray double-breasted suit, a striped shirt, dark green tie, he carries a flat aluminum box, and he holds the morning paper lightly rolled in his hand. As he takes his seat, he opens the newspaper to the financial section and begins to study closely. The picture of a dignified, prosperous, well-groomed, highly educated citizen he has among the regulars on the Straßenbahn come to fill the capacity of arbitrator. He's the quiet settler of arguments. All eyes look to him as the unchallenged authority on history, the arts, international geopolitics, intellectual matters. A gentleman to the core who can be said to have nice manners. At the third stop, he rises and gives his seat to one of the elderly working women who had got on at the housing settlement. And then he stands, continuing to read his newspaper. When the Straßenbahn reaches the financial district, Wegwerfer steps off and makes his way to the most prestigious firm in the area, the UBIA. And there, entering, he makes his way to his office to begin his work, which is so highly specialized that he avoids people who might ask and to whom he would then have to explain what he does for a living. St. Paul to Philippians. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. Because there are learned scholars on both sides, I shall not wander across this minefield of advocating either the humble example argument or the high Christology argument, into which almost every Bible student is enticed by this Christ hymn in Philippians 2. And no matter what you or I may be absolutely certain of, either that Paul was simply calling us to be of the same humble mind, life, and godly example as Jesus, or that Paul, quoting a hymn that was popular in the early church, is deifying Jesus, who shed his Godhead to take on human likeness. I'm more intrigued this morning with some of the language that Paul uses in this letter. And he says that Jesus, being in morphe theou, in the form of God, that he shed that, and he took on morphe doulou, the form of a slave, where morphe, form, is appearance, not substance, or perhaps not yet substance. Roman Catholicism embraces a Eucharistic theology of transubstantiation in which, as the priest says the Mass, by epiclesis, the calling forth, the presence, the power, and the work of the Holy Spirit and of the Word, the bread and wine, which never change appearance, form, I think morphe, do, however, physically, in reality, change in substance from bread and wine into sarx, the real physical flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. And they believe, as we may also in our own Anglican, waveringly uncertain, slightly different Eucharistic theology, may believe that eating this, the sarx, the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, we take into our own bodies the real flesh, meat, and blood of the Lord's own body that hung on the cross of Calvary, thereby becoming part of God and God becoming part of us. Faithful, baptized disciples whose calling, whose mission, whose baptismal covenant is to live at becoming Christ. It's a beautiful piety of Eucharist that brings the Last Supper into the present moment, such that this is that night, this is that room, this is that meal, this is that bread, this is that wine. You are there, and he is here. Even though the morphe, the form, the image, the likeness, the accident, what you see and taste has not changed. But, and I speak seriously, it changes us. Now, I meant that to be relevant as an illustration of the difference between morphe, which is form, appearance, what you see with your eyes, and a reality. And if I were to say a hypothetical, philosophical, or theoretical reality, that would be blasphemously offensive to some. And so I'll say a theological reality in which by faith, form becomes, is redefined as, and therefore known anew as, transubstantiated, a different existential substance. And back to the Philippians reading. Paul is encouraging us to take on the morphe, the form of Jesus, the form of Christ. And where at first, when I look at this, I thought, but not transubstantially. The more I contemplate the faithfulness of Catholic Eucharistic dogma, or meditate on the earnestness of Paul in Philippians, the more I think, no, Paul does mean transubstantial. Because Paul wants us to step humbly into the way of the cross as our life journey to becoming Christ. That we are to become Christ for others as the bread and the wine become body and blood for us. But Paul also means morphe, that not only do we seek and serve Christ and others as open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus, but that when others look at us baptized Christians, they see Jesus, the form of Christ such that both image, morphe, form, appearance, and substance, how we live, who we are, what we do, as in WWJD, what would Jesus do? We are that humble, itinerant man of one substance with God the Father who lived his everyday life for others as the example of God and who finally suffered, bled, and died on the cross of Calvary, a perfect sacrifice for all. And so are we to be and do. This is the call to us that St. Paul makes with this Christ hymn. It's a hymn of love and sacrifice. And yet, I can't do it. I can't. I don't know what you may see in me, my form, the collar and the vestment and the stole here of a priest, the morphe, a picture, the image of a holy man. If you see Jesus in me, let me disabuse you. I am a sinner, and I am as phony as De Wegpfeffer in Heinrich Böll's short story that I just outlined for you. That smooth, well-dressed, mannerly, prosperous-looking, intellectual, promising young executive who rides the streetcar every morning, he gets off, and he walks to the back alley door of his basement office where he changes into a grubby smock and he works alone all morning sorting sacks of mail. Der Wegpfeffer. Anonymous. Nobody in the company upstairs ever heard of him or would recognize him. He saves the company's time for workers and executives who work above. He arrives early in the morning and sorts inevitably three huge sacks of mail into a small tray of official business, which he then hands over to his supervisor, who has it taken upstairs to the official places. So he sorts it into that and junk mail. The junk mail he drops into the trash bin, except for the colorful travel brochures that he takes home free to peruse and drink. The real life of this man is that he is a beggarly, scruffy, unkempt, bohemian bum in a frayed collar who swipes packets of margarine and ersatz coffee in cheap cafes. He's taken on the morphe, the form of a professional, a prosperous, wise, and wealthy young man about town, a budding corporate executive. In substance, however, he is der Wegpfeffer, and he avoids people who might ask what he does for a living, because for all that you see, he would not like to admit that he is a thrower away. Der Wegpfeffer. As for myself again, retorting our colleague for last Sunday, I am so caught up in things of this earth that I am not longing for things eternal. Here I am, made from mud and earthling, and you also, sheep of God's own fold, lambs of God's own flock, sinners of Christ's own redeeming, called, I am, as you are, to take on the form, the likeness of Jesus Christ, and then ultimately, as our work is done, to become his holy substance.